thinks you are. You're probably living it to the best that you can that day. And I stood in front of this mirror, and I believe God works through all avenues and all vehicles. And every person. See, I hear people say very clever things in here, and I just take it all. I don't take it and try to throw some away. I take it all, because I know at some point I'm going to need it all. That's how sick I can be some days. And I know that I need to listen to you guys, but I believe He works through all avenues and vehicles. And I stood in my mirror, and this minister happened to be on the radio, and it wasn't a religious thing. I mean, all of a sudden, he was just on the radio. And what he said was, if God were to come down right now and tell you that you can have the one thing that you've always wanted in your life, what would that be? And I stopped doing what I was doing, and I listened. He said, but, and I said, oh, I knew there's a catch. He said, but, if God were to tell you that you need to be willing to let go of the one thing that you've never been able to let go of, and then you can have the one thing that you've always wanted in your life, would you be willing to do that? Right then I understood what my sponsor's husband meant. Right then I understood what the deepest powerlessness was for me. I understood that they were one and the same. I understood that I needed to have someone else in my life to make me feel like a whole person. I prayed and asked God to remove my need for another human being to make me feel whole. You see, I knew I was going on a journey. And it was one of those things between step one and step two again. I don't know where I'm going. But now I'd had enough experiences in here to know that I was going to end up someplace better than I had been. I spent the next year by myself, not in a relationship. I had a couple phone sex things, you know. I had a couple okay maybe things. I went through a whole lot of stuff that, like, still trying not to accept that you run out of things to use, Jackie, to fill the void. Let me try to find something. You know, and about 3 months into this, I knew that there wasn't. And I knew that I needed to stop doing it like I was doing a bit. I knew I needed to open up my ears and my eyes and try to see what God was not doing to me, but what He was trying to give me. And by the time the next summer rolled around, I had learned a whole lot of things about this addict. I had learned just how powerful this disease manifested itself in my life, and I hadn't picked up a drug. 8 years clean, 8.5 years clean, almost a year to the day later, I met a man in the room that I had seen before, that we were kind of like associates, and I made a decision to get into a relationship with this man. But I think I need to just be real honest, and the way I need to describe this last series of what's happened in my life in recovery is to kind of back up about 2 months before then, because when I met with Shelley this morning, I was very honest about what's going on in my life right now today. And it was not something I was going to come up here and share with you. See, it's much more profound for me to come up here and tell you that I live by myself, which I do, that when I wake up in the morning, I wake up with the woman that I love and trust and respect the most, which I do. But I wanted to be able to still come up here and tell you that it's still okay for me to be by myself. See, I went to eat breakfast this morning, and last night I went to eat dinner by myself. I actually went to the room and got all dressed, and then thought, I'm just going to go to McDonald's and bring something back. I can't go to this seafood place and just stand in line without somebody with me, whether a girlfriend, a man, somebody. I just said a prayer. I got in my car. I drove there, stood in line, and actually turned around and asked the person standing behind me, would you eat dinner with me? I ended up sitting at a table with 8 people I didn't know, took pictures, had a great time. Well, I woke up this morning and the same thing happened again. You know, change is something that has to be practiced. So it can become part of who I am. I can't just do it once or twice. I woke up this morning thinking, now I still have this free breakfast ticket. So free means I gotta go, and it's all you can eat, so I definitely have to go. And I said, now, I don't know what this situation, it's a whole different restaurant. It's a whole different one now. I'll just act like I'm not afraid. And I walked in, went and got my food, sat my food down on the table, went back to get fruit, came back, my plate was gone. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And I found myself feel like real, like I was standing out like a sore thumb, and I was scared, and I wanted to stand up and say, everybody in here, please, I'm here by myself. Can I eat with somebody? Can't somebody see me here by myself? I went back, and I got kind of like a little indignant with the people that were working. I said, did you take my food? I mean, can't I set my food down for a minute? You know? And he said, I'm really sorry. I didn't see a coat there or anything. And I almost started to say, well, so I don't have a coat on. So what? You know, I mean, I'm not going to leave my pocketbook there. And I realized what it was that I was afraid. I was just afraid. I felt vulnerable. You know, I was afraid that you would look at me, seeing me by myself, and think that that meant that nobody wanted to be with me. You know, that only creeps are lonely. I couldn't say I was lonely when I got here. Only creeps are lonely. People who want, you know, have people that want to be around them are not lonely. I could be in a room with 100 people who love me and still feel lonely. But 2 months before this, I had went to speak at a convention in New York. And this is the part I want to share with you guys. But this is honest, and this is who I am. And I believe that God's not going to use me unless I'm honest. And I don't want him to stop doing this with me. I get more from this than you possibly ever could. And 2 months before then, I went to a meeting up in New York, and I spoke at the Sunday Morning Breakfast Northern New York Regional Convention in 1994. And while I was there, there was a very handsome, charming man, very dedicated to service and recovery on the convention committee, so he was very attentive to me and my low self-esteem, of course, as well. It's just because I'm one of the speakers, and they're being attentive, make sure I have what I need. I'm sitting at the main meeting, and my friends are sitting there next to me telling me, he's looking at you, Jackie. And I was like, no, he must be looking at somebody else. He couldn't possibly be looking at me. And immediately I fell in love with this person just because they said he was looking at me. You know? And it's kind of like you get this little ninth grade little girl, little boy thing, whatever. And I kept looking, and he was looking at me, and I thought, nah, there must be something wrong. He's probably just looking at me because he sees me as this spiritual recovering woman, and he wants some recovery from me. And my friends would say, yeah, right. And then I got, when I was done speaking, I went to get off the podium, and he took my Works, How, and Why book and wrote his name and address. That's all. Nothing in there. Just name and address and phone number. And when I got home and I got off the plane, I hurried up and looked at it, and I called my friends up, and I said, he has the last initial as I do, so if I marry him, I don't even have to change my last initial. Fantasy addict. Well, needless to say, I didn't get involved with him. And a couple months later, it was like a year anniversary for me that I had been by myself, and I met someone, and I got into a relationship with a man who was not ready to be in a relationship with me. A very good person, very giving person, would do anything I ask, anything I want, anytime. And I tried very, very hard to feel the same way about him that he felt about me. I tried very hard. I set a date to get married 3 times last year, and each time it came close, I felt like I couldn't breathe. I felt like I couldn't sleep. I felt like my stomach was slipping. By then, I had learned to listen to my gut. I wasn't even going to take time to figure out whether it was my insecurities or fears or whether he just wasn't the person for me. I knew that it was not the right thing for me to do to marry this individual. Finally, last year, before Christmas, I sat down with him and I did something that I've never done in my life. I sat down and I told this man, I love you like this, but I don't love you like that. And I've had to recently tell him when he called me, I don't feel the same way about you that you feel about me. I'm sorry. I have never done anything like that in my life. If I didn't want to be someplace, I would certainly set it up to make it look like it was your idea and your fault. So I would always have the option of telling you, what was your mistake? You know, you want to come back now, I know. I could always do that. Always. One of the things that I believe has happened in my life is that I not only grew to be the woman who would not accept unacceptable behavior from someone else, I've grown to be a person who cares about other people and don't want to hurt anybody else. I don't want to use anyone else. And you know, God blesses you when you make decisions and you are obedient and you follow His will and you step out on faith. See, that was really, I believe, the first time that I stepped out totally on faith. With this nobody else in the horizon, you know, nothing else. I go to school, I go to work, I work with addicts, I'm at a university, I'm a junior in college, I'm an A student. I have all these things in my life going on that I want to become, not put my life on the back burner for anyone or anything anymore. And yet, I had the courage to step off from this man feeling like there may never be anybody to come in my life. Feeling like maybe sometimes that's not what God has planned for me. That maybe this is how He fills my life, to carry a message to other addicts. And still feeling like, but God, it's not fair that I do this and then I go home and I have to be by myself. I get a phone call 2 months after I am obedient and do this, and it's from this individual from New York. The same man, with the same initial in the end. And he calls me and tells me, I hear that you're sharing in North Carolina. I said, yes. He says, well, I guess I'll see you in March because I'm also speaking at that convention. And I went down there last week. I really hate to say this. I went down there last week and ended up spending the entire weekend with him and his sponsor and my friends down there and hanging out. He's called me every day since then. He's told me that I am the person that God, nobody's ever told me this before. He told me, he said, I believe you are the person that God has put in my life. And of course, me, like, this is always what I've wanted. I've been a good girl now. I've done what I'm supposed to do, so this must be God giving me this gift. You know? Saying everything that I've imagined I wanted somebody, especially somebody like him, to say to me. But you know what? I'm real grateful because I had a 3-hour drive down here by myself. I left Philadelphia 7:10, and my heart, listen, I've lost 5 pounds this week. Heart racing, you know, head pounding. What am I going to do now? I think I'm getting this money now, settlement for my mother's house. I'm moving to New York. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find a different school, change jobs. This is what I'm going to do. But I'm committed to not having sex, so I think I can do that. I'll just go up there and listen, I don't know about your brain, but mine works overtime a lot of times. And I got down here. By the time I got down here, something was different. My spirit was centered because God had allowed that 3-hour drive. Both of my female friends that go a lot of places with me couldn't come. I needed to drive by myself. And I went and met with Shelly this morning, and we laughed and we cried and we talked about it. And one thing I do know is that, yes, when I'm obedient, God blesses me and gives me great rewards and great gifts. But in the past, every time he's given me the gift, I just always felt like once you give me the gift, I'm supposed to do whatever I want to do with the gift. You know, the real gift is that I have this commitment to God, not to another human being. I have this real commitment, this conviction, this belief about what and how much I'm supposed to share physically, sexually with another human being. That's my conviction. It doesn't have to be yours. I don't like that it's mine. I ask God to give me the courage and the strength not to do that until I'm married again. That's what I ask him to do. And that's not like a moral statement or trying to beat anybody. But that just happens to be like where I am. This is just where he's moved in my life. So I need to realize that there's also a power that exists out there that's very powerful, just like God. And that power hears my prayers. When I pray for somebody strong, and I pray for somebody spiritual, and I pray for somebody that has the same faith and the same religious belief that I do, who better would he put in my path? Or who better would he use? So now I know that what I need to do is take time. What I need to do is keep my butt right in Philadelphia. I know I need not to be making any rash decisions, even at almost 10 years clean. I'm just so grateful that God has brought you all into my life, because when my head gets real crazy, if I didn't have you to talk to about, I would be doing the same insanity that I did when I first came around here. I think God has just blessed me to be here this morning, and he's telling me that it's now time to be quiet. And I'd like, if you all could, just for a moment, I would just like to say a very quick prayer before we leave here. This is a really, really beautiful meeting, and I know all of you are heading home. And if for a moment, if you would just allow me to say a prayer for you guys that you're heading out on the road, I would really appreciate it. Dear God, I just pray that you carry all of us safely. We thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you for another day and opportunity for us to be clean and to share with someone else. Carry us, Lord, safely. Carry us here again next year. For those who won't make it, we just pray that you carry them to you. Thank you.